Well, beloved brethren, good afternoon. Grove City sometimes finds trials even before ones go home. Ones get sick. And with so many here, we don't know what we'll be facing in a difficult day. What trials await, even blessings, can be a snare to us. Pride can take hold of them, or we can get in our ease about our blessings. And it's a difficult day. The Lord Jesus says, if the salt has lost its savor, he says, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith will it be salted? Truth is so important. Truth and love must be balanced together. Love, and this is a word of a future day, but in our day, we see the growing evil, the growing wickedness. Even the apostles' day says the mystery of lawlessness does already work. And how much more so as the rapture approaches. The Lord says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And there's two ways that can be. One can be just all the allurement and the acceptance of evil in the world, and generally can have an effect upon the people of God. And so we need to get into our chamber for cleansing before the Lord, just for walking in this world. And then for righteousness' sake, God is doing a work. And the prince of this power of this world, who came, the Lord Jesus says, the prince of this world cometh, but he findeth nothing in me. That one seems to be on a longer leash. And it makes it hard, for we see things in the world, the wickedness growing on every hand, the voices not being raised, you're hoping for a voice here, a voice there, or somebody speaks out, they quickly back down under pressure. But that's not what we want to look at. We want to look at something that you leave here with, something when a day comes, and a trial comes, or a difficulty comes, there'll be something that will be remembered. So for that, please turn to Psalm 23. This has been a comforting song and psalm and blessing for the people of God through the centuries. How many have found comfort and strength in difficult times in this psalm? Psalm 22 is the good shepherd. Psalm 23 is the chief shepherd. And Psalm 24 is the great shepherd. And so in Psalm 23, how much for guidance for those that want to have a shepherd exercise and oversight, looking toward the people of God for care. The first, and we'll see as we go on, we'll look at part of a verse in Psalm 23, and we'll look at, in the New Testament, something the Lord said. And perhaps as we go on, ones will be turning to verses ahead of me that'll be better verses. But beginning at the first line, the Lord is my shepherd, John chapter 10. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I shall not want. Luke 22. And verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Gospel of John, chapter 6. And verse 10. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Gospel of Mark. Chapter 4, verse 37. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Luke 22. And verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 10. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." He, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me." Matthew 28. Verse 19. Verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Thy rod and thy staff do comfort me. Gospel of Mark. Chapter 9, verse 33. "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Gospel of Luke 22. And verse 12. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. Thou anointest my head with oil. John chapter 15. Sorry, Luke 24. Verse 49. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John chapter 14. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have a beautiful prospect and a wonderful hope for the days to come. When a dark day comes, when trouble comes, remember the encouragement of God's word.
Thank you. We were looking at a psalm of David's, the 23rd psalm, a psalm no doubt that we're all familiar with. I would like to have us turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. In chapter 21, we find a dreadful mistake that David made, a mistake that apparently resulted from the pride of his heart. He commanded that the people be numbered. The Lord had given him victory over all his foes, and yet he wanted to see how great his army was. And he had a very painful lesson to learn in that chapter. And at the end of that chapter, verse 30 of chapter 21, we find that David could not go before it, that is the ark, the altar. The altar really is referred to there. David could not go before it to inquire of the Lord, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of Jehovah. And David said, "This is the house of Jehovah Elohim, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel." We find at the end of David's life, he's very much occupied with the house of the Lord. Now, back in the 132nd Psalm, we find that even as a young man, David was thinking of the ark, the symbol of the presence of the Lord with his people. And he wanted to really bring it to Jerusalem to build a beautiful temple for it to honor God. When he got to the point where he was ready to build a temple, God told him he could not do that. His son Solomon was to do that. And you know, every one of us may have great desires. We may have desires to serve God in this way or that way. But the important thing is to do what God wants us to do. And here, David learns something. He learns where the temple is to be built. And we find that he collects the strangers who were going to have to do a lot of the manual labor. They would hew wrought stones, and they would bring in cedar trees and so on. In verse 5 of this chapter, we read that David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for Jehovah must be exceeding great in fame and in beauty in all lands. I will therefore make preparation for it." And David prepared abundantly before his death. You know, it's beautiful to see this. The final occupation of David in his life is really to prepare, to get together material, and also to prepare those who would be serving in the house of the Lord. And God had told him Solomon, his son, would build it. God had told him this evidently before Solomon was even born. And David is thinking of Solomon, he's young and tender. Solomon may have been in his late teens at this time, perhaps not very far beyond that. And in verse 6, he calls for Solomon, his son. He charged him to build a house for Jehovah, the God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "As for me, my son, I was minded to build a house unto the name of Jehovah my God. But the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, for thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and in his days I will give peace and quietness unto Israel. He shall build a house unto my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, Jehovah be with thee, that thou mayest prosper and build the house of Jehovah thy God, as he has said of thee. Only Jehovah give thee wisdom and understanding, and place thee over Israel, and to keep the law of Jehovah thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to perform the statutes and ordinances which Jehovah commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And behold, in my affliction I have prepared for the house of Jehovah 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. And timber and stone have I prepared, and thou shalt add to it. And there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of skillful men for every kind of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, the iron, there is no number. Arise and be doing, and Jehovah be with thee. You know, it's a beautiful portion to read. And I think of it, we all grow old. Some of us have just started that. Some of us are perhaps approaching the end. And David, as he became old, was very aware of the failures in his life. He had made war, but had perhaps gone beyond measure in making war. We find that he had even had some of his enemies sawn apart and so on. And, you know, war is a cruel thing. One of our leading generals in the Civil War, who became the Army Chief of Staff in later years, is known for his saying, William T. Sherman said, "War is hell." And there's so many things that happen in war that are not good at all, even in what might be a righteous war. And David was conscious of this. The Lord was very conscious of it. "Thou hast shed blood abundantly and made great wars." So the Lord had spoken to him. Elsewhere too, when we come to 1 Kings chapter 2, where we have basically the last words of David before he passed on, David told his son Solomon, you know, "There are things that I haven't done right. There are things that I haven't been able to complete. And there are things that you in your wisdom must go ahead and do." We pass the torch from generation to generation. When it came to building a temple for the Lord had chosen Solomon before he was born, had even named him, as we see in this chapter, to David. He would be a man of rest. The Lord would watch over him. And David had been careful to bring up his son. Read Proverbs 4 sometime, and you'll see what directions David gave Solomon. And Solomon was seeking to pass them on to his son. Solomon's son didn't follow those directions. But here we find David, what was really on David's heart was to build a house for the Lord. Now, we're not interested in putting up great, big, beautiful buildings, material buildings in this world. But we are interested, as believers, in building that house for the Lord 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that Jesus Christ is the foundation. No other foundation can be laid except him. And on the one hand, in Ephesians, we find that God is building his house. On the other hand, in Corinthians, we find that we people have a responsibility in building this house for God. Every person who gets saved is a living stone in that house. 1 Peter 2 tells us that. And there's so many scriptures, just as our brother has brought the New Testament into the 23rd Psalm, so one could bring so much of the New Testament into these chapters of the Old Testament. It's sometimes said that the Old Testament are the windows that shed light on the principles that we have in the New Testament. We have the illustrations here. God had told David, you cannot build the house. But then David went ahead and got together as much material as he could so that this temple that would be built would be a great and glorious thing. 100,000 talents of gold. Do you realize what that is? A talent is a measure of weight. It's 75 pounds or 34 kilograms. 100,000 times that would be 7.5 million pounds of gold. Gold sells for something like perhaps $1,500 an ounce today. Tremendous amount of gold that would be used to build this temple for the Lord. It was to be magnificent above all else. And we are often occupied with the weakness and the failure in the house of God today, among Christians, in our own assemblies. We have to weep when we see the failure that has come in. But God is still doing building, and he wants us to be used of himself to build. Whether it's to hew the stone, to cut the wood, or to work with the gold and silver. There were 1 million talents of silver to be used. 75 million pounds of silver. You know, these are tremendous figures. And iron and brass, so much that they didn't have the capacity to weigh it all. But what was even more important than all this, the Lord had said of Solomon, he shall build a house to my name. He shall be my son. I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. The Lord is interested in the fact that he wants to be our father. He wants to have a living relationship with us. He wants us to feel that we are his children. We can approach him as our father. And he's watching what we do. We want to please him in every way. I've often enjoyed the first verse of our hymn 250 in Spiritual Songs. From various cares our hearts retire, though deep and boundless their desire. We've now to please but one, him before whom each knee shall bow. With him is all our business now, and those that are his own. Well, David was very concerned about this. Solomon was young. How could he undertake all this? But God had chosen him. And you know, those of us who are older, as we look on to the next generations, knowing our own weakness, we realize that, you know, those who come after us are not going to be necessarily that much stronger than we are. But you know, the important thing is that we all walk close to the Lord. David says, "Then thou shalt prosper, if thou takest heed to perform the statutes and ordinances which Jehovah commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous, fear not, neither be dismayed." Then you'll prosper. We look for success in the world. And of course, in the universities and schools of this world, you know, this is something that they want to build into you. Strive for the top. Be something in this world. Be something for the Lord. Then shalt thou prosper. We are not under the law, but we will not prosper without the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Solomon later on wrote in the book of Proverbs. The word of God is our guidebook, and we will prosper as we follow the teaching of God's word. And no matter how big a thing we build for the Lord, we only prosper if we walk close to him. Solomon took 7 years to build the temple, 13 years to build a beautiful palace for himself. And we were seeing in St. Louis recently, and it's so sad to see that Solomon, when he was old, his many wives turned away his heart. Solomon obeyed the Lord in many ways, but things that we find in Deuteronomy 17 at the end of the chapter, God's special commands regarding a king, Solomon did not follow. King was not to multiply horses to himself. He was not to multiply silver and gold to himself. Now David left Solomon much silver and gold to build the temple with. David said, you can add more. Solomon sent to faraway parts of the earth to get more gold. And God said, you're not to multiply wives to yourself, lest they turn away your heart from the Lord. Of all men on the scriptural record, Solomon had the most wives. 700 wives and 300 concubines. You know, you marvel that a man could even have that. But what God had warned about came true. His wives, in the latter part of his life, turned his heart away from the Lord. You can just picture a wife admiring this beautiful, magnificent temple that Solomon had built for the Lord. And he had heathen wives, a number of them, a good many of them. And maybe one said, honey, you built such a big, beautiful temple for your God. Can't we build a little shrine for my God? And if he did that, the next one, can't you build a little shrine for my God too? You built one for so-and-so. And before you knew it, the Mount of Olives, it's referred to in the Old Testament at one point as the Mount of Corruption, because it was lined with little temples to heathen gods and goddesses. And that is right across the Kidron Valley from the mountain where the temple of God was built. Can you see God looking down, seeing this beautiful structure that Solomon had built, and right across the valley facing it, a whole line of heathen temples? Sad. And you know, if we don't follow God's ways, we will be led astray. And one thing leads to another. And water always runs downhill. You know, if you pour out water, it'll only run in one direction. It'll run down. It may run across a bit, and then it goes down. But it's not going to run uphill by itself. And so evil increases. And this is what happened in the life of Solomon. But we're starting here with David. And David gives Solomon good advice. He tells him, there are workmen with thee in abundance. You know, the work of God is not a one-man show. Solomon is given credit for building the temple. But there were thousands of people that were employed in working at different aspects of the temple. And he was to work together with these. All manner of skillful men for every kind of work. And David says, arise and be doing, and Jehovah be with thee. But then we find in chapter 23, well, first of all, at the end of chapter 22, David commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son. And we find that they were to set their heart and their soul to seek Jehovah your God and arise and build the sanctuary of Jehovah Elohim. We cannot do something for the Lord if our heart is not really right with the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. We need to be occupied with Him. We need to be in communion with Him. We need to be seeking His will. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Was the first question that Saul of Tarsus asked after he had said, who art thou, Lord? And he had heard the answer, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. Then, Lord, what shall I do? Well, when David was old, for chapter 23, verse 1, and full of days, he made his son, Solomon his son, king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. And the Levites were numbered from 30 years old and upward. There were 38,000 of them. And David divides them into groups. 24,000 were to preside over the work of the house of Jehovah. 6,000 were officers and judges. And 4,000 were doorkeepers. And 4,000 praised Jehovah with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Israel's worship, they were God's earthly people. It was an outward worship. There were things that impressed you when you saw them. There were things that impressed you when you heard them. Everything was made to impress the man. We are told that the Father seeks worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. We don't have to have big golden structures, million-dollar buildings or billion-dollar buildings. Solomon's temple had several billion dollars worth of precious metal in them. And that's not what we're going to impress God with, but that temple that He is building with living stones, and yet we're privileged to serve Him in seeking to reach others for Him and to build them up for Him, you know, to edify one another, to do those things that are helpful. David divides them up, and then we find a number of chapters with a lot of names in them. And it's interesting to go through these names because there are little jewels in between the names. For example, in chapter 23, verse 13, the sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was separated that he should be hallowed as most holy, he and his sons forever, to offer before Jehovah to do service to Him and to bless in His name forever. Here the duties of the priests are summed up in this verse. And then as to Moses, the man of God, his sons were named of the tribe of Levi. Moses didn't try to find some special place for his sons. God had said, Aaron, the priests are all going to be sons of Aaron, grandsons of Aaron, great-grandsons of Aaron, great-great-grandsons of Aaron. The priests are all to come from this family. But Moses' family just served among the Levites, among those who served God in the seemingly less important jobs. Are we content to serve God in seemingly unimportant things, or do we want to have our names on the marquees of buildings, and, you know, do we want our names to be emblazoned everywhere in this world? The Lord said to his disciples when they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name's sake." He said, "Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in God's book." Well, here one goes through this. The Levites are divided into 24 groups. There are thousands of them. They can't all serve in the temple at once. And so they're divided into 24 groups that took turn a week about. They'd come in on one Sabbath day, and there would always be double duty on the Sabbath day. And during the week, a new course came in every Sabbath day and left after the next Sabbath day. We have the privilege of being God's priests day by day. We don't have to take turns. A brother doesn't have to say, "Well, I gave out a hymn in the meeting this Sunday, so I don't have to do that for another 24 weeks or something like that. You know, things are very practical in Scripture. We find, there's a descendant here of Merari who had no sons but daughters. And, all the little details about these families. In chapter 24, it's the Levites as a general thing. In verse 28, their place was by the side of the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of Jehovah, over the courts and over the chambers and over the purifying of all holy things, and for the work of the service of the house of God, and for the loaves to be set in rows, and for the fine flour for the oblation, and for the unleavened cakes, and for what is baked in the pan, for that which is saturated with oil, and for all measures of capacity and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise Jehovah, and likewise at even, and for all burnt offerings offered up to Jehovah on the Sabbath, on the new moons, on the set feast, by number, according to the ordinance concerning them, continually before Jehovah." You know, Levitical service is a beautiful thing, but it's work. And there are so many things that can be done for the Lord, and so many different things, and they all have to be done. And one person doesn't do all of them. They were divided into groups. Then in chapter 24, we find the divisions of the priests, and the latter part of chapter 24, the rest of the sons of Levi, verse 20 and on. We don't have time to go into all the details here. And then we find in chapter 25, David and the captains of the host separated for service those of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with harps and lutes and cymbals. And the number of the men employed according to their service was, and then they're listed, and we find that, verse 7, the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of Jehovah, all of them skillful, were 288. And they divide them into 24 groups of 12 each. And it mentions, like in verse 8, the teacher with the scholar. Old and young really work together. The learner works with one who can teach. And, we need to work together in the service of the Lord. Earlier we read in this, in chapter 23, that there were 4,000 who praised Jehovah with the instruments that David made. But we find here there were 288 that were divided into 24 groups that were responsible, that really had the leadership. And there were a lot of others that could help them. And one goes on into chapter 26, the other jobs that Levites had. You know, it's It's a tremendous thing what we can do for the Lord. And it's touching to see that when David was very old, here in Chronicles is the book that brings before us especially what was precious to the heart of God. It's occupied with the ark, with the priests, with the Levites, their service, building of the temple, and so on. Kings takes up a lot of the outward things. In 1 Kings 1, you find that when David was old, he had to be in bed most of the time. He couldn't stay warm. You find his physical needs mentioned there. And his last words to Solomon were, you know, the things that I couldn't do right or didn't do right, the things that I couldn't finish, you see to it that they get done. Here in Chronicles, we find that what was primarily on David's heart was the service of the Lord and how this was to be carried on. The temple was to be built, and the priests and Levites are divided into groups, and their service is outlined for us in these chapters. And we find again and again David impresses Solomon with this, and then he impresses the leaders of his people to help Solomon. And you know, we need that. Those of us who are young need to be impressed. God has a service for me. Those of us who are older need to be impressed. I need to do what God has given me to do. And I need to do it together with others. I need to help those who are younger to do that. And those of us who are getting on in years quite a bit, we need to be impressed with, I need to help those who are younger to learn what God wants of all of us. I need to work together with my brothers and with my sisters. I need to be a help to them. In the 23rd Psalm, we find that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we find everything that he does for us, so that really we have no need. Whatever we may need, he takes care of. And the psalm even ends with, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, we find here in these chapters, in Chronicles, a beautiful picture of how we can help one another in the service of the Lord, and particularly in connection with the worship of the Lord. We need to take chapters like this to heart and not just page over them because there are a lot of names we find difficult to pronounce, but look in between the names and see what these people did or were supposed to do. And we find elsewhere that what David was doing here in organizing this, in Israel, everything had to be organized, you know, by God's command. But what David was doing here was something that God gave him to do. It was a tremendous responsibility. For many years, David had fought wars. He had shed much blood. And now toward the end of his life, he's working with those that are serving the Lord, those that are set apart for that. And he's getting things set up in such a way that God is pleased with it. Now, we have no set order. We don't give degrees. We don't have anyone that is higher in rank than another or anything like that. But we certainly can help one another to do those things that please the Lord. And dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us to do these things, to have the heart of a David in his older days.